Praise God. Let's get into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as I share this word here this morning, I just trust that your people will be blessed by it. I pray that they'll take it to heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're moving off the subject of the glory of God. And we're going to get into individual messages. And last week, we defined what a good man was. This morning, if you have pencil and paper, you might want to take some notes. But over the course of my time as minister in the kingdom of God, I've felt certain things in my heart. And if I've felt them, I know you have felt them. And and so today I have a message called Three Things That the Devil Tries to Tell You. Three Things That the Devil Tries to Tell You. How many of you know that the devil doesn't like anybody that's in the kingdom of God? If you haven't figured that out by now, he doesn't like believers. He hates them, especially believers that have a trust and a faith in their God. There are kind of believers that don't really have that kind of faith and trust in the Lord, but there are many who do. And Satan tries to come at us in three major areas that have been a part of my life, and I know that you're going to bear witness that they're also a part of your life. The number one thing that Satan tries to get you to believe and feel, if feelings have anything to do with it, and they are a part of us, is that you have no value. That's the first thing the enemy wants to impress upon your mind. That you have no value. Somebody else is more important than you. And number two, that you have little ability. Most of us gauge our life, structure of our life, when we come into the kingdom of God, predicated on our own ability. And it's easy to slip into that kind of thinking because you've lived that way your whole life. You've lived that way thinking in perspective of your own ability. How many of you attest to that? Even if we want to be honest, that's so easy for us to do, is to realize serving the kingdom of God from the perspective of our own ability. And so Satan, that's his second area. He wants to hit you to tell you the ability. And of course, the third one is he challenges your faith. He wants to convince you you have no faith. You have no faith. And so, if you will, open up to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to take a look at a young man whom God approached and said some key things to him. His name is Gideon. Now, I want to share something with you about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had patterns of being up and down constantly. Up and down constantly. They were either in fellowship or out of fellowship on a consistent basis. And of course, the nation of Israel was in a real bind at this time. And so God approached Gideon, and this is what he said at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, not the TV, Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abzurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I want you to underline this, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now I'm going to say something to you. Do you know the Lord is with you? How many of you believe that the Lord is with you? He is with you. Life doesn't seem to tell us that, but He is always with you. So the Lord is with you. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Typical, typical mind. Why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles, which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You know, it's very interesting. When this kind of mind gets to clicking, it isn't something all of a sudden that comes to that mind. It's been a process that has taken place. I want to share something with you about God. God doesn't come into your life as a hireling. The blessings do not flow into your life simply because you're a perfect person. God's blessings flow into your life as God is able to captivate you and get you to think and move and say what He is in you. You know, that's our thinking. You know, why has all this befallen us? And God does not have a problem rescuing you or securing you in anything. The reason that the nation of Israel got into the fix that they got into had nothing to do with God. They walked out from under God. God's always been there. He's always been the miracle working power of God. I could just hear God, oh my gosh, Gideon, thanks for bringing that to remembrance. That is right. I am a miracle working God. I forgot all about it. No, God is always there to be a miracle in your life. He's always with you. I got scripture that says, who will separate us from the Lord? That's not talking about you to Him. That's Him to you. God's fixed on you, whether you realize it or not. Why? Because you have value. Because you have value for the kingdom of God. And listen, God didn't purchase you simply because you had value. God purchased you also because He loves you. He craves for heaven to be filled with people. Most Christians, you listen to some of them and you think God is looking some way to get somebody out of heaven. Now notice what He says here after Gideon opens his mouth. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Here Gideon is trying to hide something, you know. And God says, no, just openly go. Just openly go. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I could hear Gideon's mind. Yeah, right. Now notice this. Have not I sent thee? He asked that question. How many of you can say that God saved you? Yes. Can I see your hands? Yes. If He saved you, now it's different. It's not like Gideon. Gideon was a servant in the household of God, even though he's a hero of faith. But listen, you're a son. You're a daughter. You have more value. Now notice this. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. There's that mentality again. A no value. I think that's why God doesn't really let us know completely everything He has planned for us. I think He likes to give it to us a little at a time. Because if it came all at once too much, it might cause us to tilt. Then you'd never do anything. Now notice what he says. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Can you imagine what he was thinking? He was always thinking in the perimeters of his own ability. You can be all that you want to be in God, providing you get rid of your ability and your thinking and look at His ability in you. See, this is the problem with too many believers. We hide from the fear of the intimidation of the Midianites because much of Israel was hiding in caves. But you know what? God believed in Gideon. Did you notice that? God believed in Gideon. God believes in you even when you don't believe in yourself. Did you know that? God believes in you when you don't believe in yourself. Because, see, Gideon had this mentality that was not conducive to a God kind of mind. But God had a different viewpoint altogether of Gideon than Gideon had of himself in God. Now, the reason is, it's not because of anything specifically about you. It's because He's with you. He's with you. He needs you. If you are the authority in the earth and He joins Himself to you, you've got some good ammunition. God believes in Himself, in what He is able to do in you and through you if you will cooperate with Him. Did you hear what I'm saying? If you will cooperate with Him. The trouble is that we continue to serve God in this carnal mind of ours, and then we get defeat after defeat after defeat. Then we're up and then we're down, and we want to know where the miracle power, working power of God is. Well, maybe God doesn't have a problem being a miracle working power of God in your life. He has a problem of getting you to go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Each step up. That's the problem. Because God knows that you're still running around in your own ability, in your own value, in your framework of your thinking. And He wants to get you out of that so He can lead you into the greatest victory and the greatest blessing that He has for you. Hallelujah. We just don't want to listen to Him. If He can't convince you to go to church and listen to the Word of God, my God, how is He going to convince you to do the right thing so the blessings will flow? Because it's the same mind that rejects hearing the Word of God, the same mind that conducts the affairs of your life. We can't escape that. Our thinking has to be godlike. If you want to be led of the Spirit, the word led there is ego. Legoma ego. That's what it is in the Greek, ego. You know what it means? One who has disciplined himself to be obedient after the Spirit in him. Now, Gideon had a problem common to us all. Gideon had a problem common to us all. We can't do nothing. So what does God strap on Gideon? He says, I have a task for you, Gideon, a big one. I want you to deliver Israel with the framework of thinking as one man. That means that we had to have a big God with that big of a task, not a big Gideon. Hello? Gideon saw himself as being so small and valueless. Satan's number one goal is to keep us blinded of seeing just how big God can be on the inside of us. Just how big God can be on the inside of us. I hear Christians all the time, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I don't have a fire in me. I just don't know what's wrong. I just never can have any victory. See, Satan wants to keep us focused on who we are in the natural. He always wants us to do that. He always wants us to keep focused on what we are in the natural. Do I hear an amen out there? Behold, we can know that God didn't call Gideon because of his family, or because he was the best one in the family. He made that very clear to God. I'm the least in my family. You know, that's the way God does things. I think I'm going to turn this church around. Let's see, whom can I pick? I'll take the one that's killing it. He picked Paul. Well, he was murdering his church. He says, that's the guy I'm going to use. You know, God uses the most lowly, the most, you know, least likely person to succeed, to succeed with. Why? Why does He do that? Because we all can relate on that level. Do I hear an amen? God came into our life for us to succeed, not fail. Turn over to Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at another bunch of knotheads. Hey, I've been in this boat right along. I'm preaching this message not only to you, but to me too. Look at verse 30. In Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13:30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Own value and ability mentality. See, that's all they had, is looking at it from the view. You know, God has told a lot of you some things that within yourself, you don't see how you can do it. You're waiting for yourself to get into a position to do it. God's already in a position to make you successful. You just got to get into line with Him. You see? And look at this, Caleb. You know what Caleb means? Giant killer. Now look at this. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, "The land though which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." You know what? Well, listen. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." They gone to lying. They gone to telling the nation of Israel, some of these spies, gone to telling the nation of Israel that they also think the same way. We're grasshoppers in their sight. No problem. Turn over to Joshua chapter 2. And let's find out what the giants thought. What the giants thought of the nation of Israel that was coming into their land. In Joshua chapter 2, let's go to verse 8. "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, Rahab, and she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you.'" All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now notice this. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." Never before had a God so magnified Himself on planet Earth and joined Himself to a nation that the entire inhabitants of all Canaan feared and trembled. Why? Because God of the heavens joined Himself to the nation of Israel, and He knew that, man, when you mess with His bunch, you're in trouble. Well, you know, it's no different today. It's no different today. When the world starts messing with you, you cry out to God, and He's swift to come to your rescue. My Bible tells me so. Well, what if I'm not right with God? Get out of your own ability and your own mentality of value, and realize that God has value on your life at all times. And He's always there with His ability. Get it right later. Get it right later with Him. Now, God believes in you not because of who you are in the natural, but because He knows who you belong to through your spirit. You're His child. You're His child. You know, God is not a child abandoner. He doesn't abandon you in your hour of crisis. We abandon Him in our crisis. Our head takes over and we shut down and we don't perform what He wants us to. His authority wants to come alive when you're at your weakest, because that's what Paul learned. He said, "I have come to the conclusion when I'm at my weakest, I can say I'm my strongest because I'm under the grace of God for me to be sustained while I'm here." Amen. You guys getting something here tonight? Gideon saw a big enemy, and a small Gideon, with no regard to a big God. No regard to a big God. We all perform that. He says, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man, surely not speaking according to Gideon's ability. God keeps speaking faith to you regardless of yourself. You know, somebody said, well, I wish I could hear the voice of God when I'm in this crisis. It's because you listen to the negative part rather than the positive part. In your hour of crisis, God speaks big into your heart and life. He wants you to have faith and trust. Now, when you get really out there is when you start blaming God. Now you got him as your enemy. And that hurts. God's always for you. He's never against you. God has a problem with you. He's on the inside of you because he's a big God and he's on the inside of you. He just can't handle that grasshopper mentality that we run around with a lot of times. Satan's one thing is to keep you from stepping out to convince you that you have great value. That's his number one job, is to step out and try to convince you that you have no value whatsoever. You have great value. He doesn't want you to find out you have great value. He travels on the process of our conscious mind. That's how he exists in our thinking. Really, you know, it isn't Satan is not our only enemy. Sometimes our carnal thinking is our worst enemy. See, he tries to convince you you're worthless, you're small, you're bound up, you're afraid of the enemy. You keep you from stepping out with God and telling you you have little ability. I want to ask you something. Have you ever thought of what you're worth? Not monetarily. You ain't worth it. An Indian nickel. Well, I guess you can get big bucks out of an Indian nickel. You ain't even worth an Indian nickel, I guess. But your value as a human being. In determining value, you know, I've bought and sold guns over the course of my life. I quit doing that several years ago, but when you get accustomed to buying and selling something, you learn of what's value and what isn't. You can go to a gun collector and he could show you a pile of guns and he can tell you that, well, this particular gun here cost me $14,000, and you'd look at it and you'd go, man, I wouldn't give a dime for it. Why? It looks old and used and beat up. But he don't have the same perception that a gun collector would have. Are you following me? He knows the value of guns. And somebody doesn't know the value. God knows the value of you. He knows the value of you. It's one question that you have to ask yourself. If you truly believe that God looks at you as valuable, then you need to ask yourself just this one question. What are you willing to pay for? If something has value, what are you willing to pay for it? If God looks at you as having value, that means God was willing to pay something for you. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, he paid for the whole world. Well, that's interesting. You mean the whole world has value to him? And you mean to tell me that he would not pay any less for one person over another? That's very interesting. That means we're all of equal value to the kingdom of God. You know what makes us of one value over another value? Our head, our thinking. Value is determined by God, not us. Ask yourself this question. What was God willing to pay for you? What was God willing to pay for you? It says he paid, first of all, with his precious blood. That means his life. He poured his life out for you. So you must be precious. Yes, but he died for the... Yeah, let me ask you this question. How much more did he pay for someone else than you? How much more did he pay for somebody else than you? Jesus did not die more for anybody else than he died for you. Jesus, in Matthew 13, 44 through 46, Jesus talked about a man who found a pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had to purchase that one pearl of great price. One pearl of great price. You are that pearl, whether you think so or not. Jesus told of a man who found a treasure in the field, and he went and purchased the whole field to gather the treasure out of this field. To gather the treasure out of this field. There's nothing more you could do to make him love you any more than he does now. There's nothing more you can do to make him love you any more than he does now. Are you guys excited about it? You're all just sitting there. You know what you remind me of? Gideon. The Bible says that he has loved us with an everlasting love. God does not tolerate you. You know, in the beginning, you didn't choose God. God chose you. It seems like we're the ones that chose God. No, God chose you. You didn't pursue God. God pursued you. Well, if you're not shouting over this, I am. Hallelujah. John said it's not because we loved him first, but because he loved us first. Ooh, what a God. What a God. You know, if you come to maturity in the love of God in your life, then that maturity will remove all fear from your life. We are the object of his love. We're the object of his mercy. We're the object of his acceptance. We're the object of his kindness. We're the object of his grace. We're the object of his prosperity. He targeted you before you were born with all of it. You are a target for his blessing, man. Hallelujah. You're a target for his blessing. The only thing stopping you from being targeted with the blessing is your mentality. There's Gideon that's got to go. Glory to God. Listen, his blood was the price for our redemption. Therefore, it must have value. To say you have no value is to say the blood of Jesus has no value. To say you're unworthy when his blood made you worthy is to make the blood of Christ of none effect. Glory to God. You really are saying God is a poor businessman investing in you. That's what you're saying. God is a good investment. Amen. Why? Because he can take that which is ragged, torn, depleted, no wealth, poverty, and change your life to make you a success if you listen to him. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We're too busy trying to find each other. We're not busy enough to get into God and find out what God is in us, in our life. Glory to God. All we do is get so depressed we start turning on each other like a bunch of savages, cannibals. Eating away at each other. Two cannibals were eating a meal. And one said, I can't stand my mother-in-law, just eat the vegetables. If he paid for you with the price of his son, it doesn't matter what you feel. Price of his son, it doesn't matter what you feel. His love goes beyond his death on that cross. I want you to turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. I love this verse. Man, it does more to fire me up. Look at this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And that's not talking about just spiritual heavenly things. It's also talking about carnal earthly things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Woo-hoo! It is God that justifies you!
Right.
Woo-hoo! I'm not happy with myself, but God's my justifier. Ooh, I liked it. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ in our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory to God. That's right. Jump up and shout, man. We got something to shout about.
Right.
We're winners. We're not like the Seahawks have to prove every game. We're winners for every game. Praise God. Praise God. What else would he give if he was not willing to give you his best? What else would he be given? Would he give you anything less for you? He gave Jesus for you. Well, I'd say you have some value.
Amen.
There was a story of a certain culture, I'll never forget this one, where the wives were purchased by a man going to her father, and the average cost was about 2 cows. That was good. You heard this story before. 2 cows. A 2-cow woman, man, the father, who? This guy loves my woman. A young man wanted to pay for a woman with 5 cows. One day, a young man wanted to pay 5 cows for a woman. This was a way of communicating to her how valuable she was to the father. Look at, if natural man can do that, would you think God's going to give any less? Now, I want you to think about this. Close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to picture Jesus and you standing side by side. Which one do you think God has preference over? He gave his son for you. You can open your eyes now. The one church full of blind people. Think about that. We have his word on it. He gave Jesus for you. Boy, if that don't make your love expand a little bit in understanding, man, that's you dead. You know, when you allow condemnation to rule you, it is a contradiction to how valuable you are. Guilt, shame, harassment of poverty haunt you. Turn to Satan and say, Satan, I've been brought with a price of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I don't have to put up with that stuff any longer. You hear me, devil?
Yeah. Amen.
You know, he didn't get us born and bring us into the kingdom. Sin had dominion over us, but us have dominion over sin.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
And the last thing I want to talk to you is that he tries to convince us that we have little faith. Then Gideon was listed in the hall of faith. Hebrews 11:3, if he had little faith, how come he was listening to the hall of faith? Because he finally got convinced that when God was in his life, he had the ability to be a man of faith.
Right.
That's Satan's number one job, is to try to convince you that you don't have faith. How many times you thought somebody else had great faith? Can I see your hand? Somebody else had great faith and not you. The same ability for him to have great faith is the same ability for you to have great faith. One is just doing something and one is not. That's all. But we all have the same attributes, the same calling, the same value, the same respect, the same ability, because it's God that is our ability, not us. And so we look at the witness of other men and we compare ourselves with that. And Paul said, you're an idiot when you do that.
Because then you take God's ability in your heart out of your heart and you place it in another person's heart. God isn't going to put up with that. That's going to have to change in your thinking for you to start getting ahead. It's because we think how many times we've made mistakes. Well, let me ask you something. Did Israel make a mistake when God approached Gideon? Was Israel where God wanted Israel to be? Well, of course not. But did you notice God, when he approached Gideon, he says, Gideon, I want you to go to the nation of Israel and tell them what a jerk they are. I'm fed up. I'm through. And condemn them as one man. Flush them down the river. I'm through with them. No, he approached Gideon and said, my people need help. And you're the one that's going to help. Yep. You know, God will always come to you and tell you, the world needs saving. My people need help. Mm-hmm. Go. Yep. A lot of times we say it will work for them, but it might not work for me. Sure, there is such a thing as degrees of faith. We have small faith. We have weak. We're weak in the faith. Some have great faith. Some are strong in the faith. But listen, every one of us have the ability to let our faith grow exceedingly. Every one of us have that ability. Well, how do we do that? Well, in order to move from one level of faith to another level of faith, and it's God's plan for every believer to be strong in the faith. Strong faith is not for a select few. Strong faith is not for a select few. Strong faith is for every one of us. You're just as righteous as the next person next to you. You're just as forgiven as the next person next to you. It's the same blood that cleansed them, cleansed you, that made them his child, made you his child. Same one. The devil is trying to convince many that only a few reach these levels. But God deals to every man a measure of faith, but it's up to you and I. Amen. It's not up to God, it's up to you and I how far we want to go. See, the devil tries to get us to judge God's word through the witness of the testimony of other people, and God just wants to judge your heart so you can move on and grow in faith. I've had people leave our church and say it's going down the tube. Well, you have to kill the faith in me before that's going to happen. I might make mistakes, but I ain't giving up. So what they're going to have to do is when they leave, they got to have enough gall and pride in their own heart to say, then anyone that stays with Pastor Jan is not listening to God. You have to indict the whole church. But as long as there's faith in your heart, then something's alive there. Even if it's just a flicker. Amen? Now, the thing that many of us don't understand in closing is Mark 4. When the word is sown, Satan cometh immediately to take away for the word's sake, not for you. Not for God, but for the word's sake. If we just get a clue there, we might grow in faith. And how does he come? Well, he comes several ways. And some of us create, even help Satan create some of these ways. Number one, persecution and affliction. Many of us run right into it. Open-armed. We want to know why. We got a faith problem. Some has fallen into the deceitfulness of wealth, the lust of other things, the cares of the cares of this. None of us know what that's about. And do you know why they all come? It's all predicated, according to Mark 4, on one purpose and one purpose only, to get you to not trust in God's Word. How? By getting you into a care or a worry or a deceitfulness or affliction or persecution so the Word of God can't take root in your heart. Hallelujah. Because He knows faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The reason all these things come is to keep you from hearing the Word of God. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He's not talking about how faith operates. Faith operates by love, but He's saying how faith comes is how you hear. Boy, I don't know how many times in my own thinking I had a message prepared, and always the ones that need it are never here. Why do you think that so? Because the devil, he gets up, he sees Pastor Butler all fired up, got a message just for them, and he goes right to him and says, stay home, you hard worker, you. Kick back and relax.
Yep.
How do I know this? Our one was one. Did you guys get something here this morning? You have value. You have ability. And you have the ability to be strong in faith. That's what God's designed you to be.
Yep.
Stand up, everybody. I preach myself happy.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I preach myself happy. I shook off that Gideon mind preaching here this morning. How'd they do, Sue? She said, all right. Did you guys really get something? You know, God put this message in my heart for you. Not for me, but for you. You have value. You have ability. Well, you have God in you. You know, I like what one brother said one time. He said, for me to fail, God in me would have to fail. I believe that. Do you believe that? Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to close this service now. And Father, I thank You for the wonderful people that have come to church today. And I know that I've given them the good Word of God. Father, I gave them what You wanted me to give them this morning. When You spoke to me and told me to preach that again. Father, I knew that somebody needed it here. Somebody needed it. They need to be encouraged. Boy, when death tries to latch itself too much on the body of Christ, that's when we need to retaliate in the victory that we do have. And Father, I hope everyone was encouraged today. I hope they see themselves, Father, as having value so that the blood of Jesus is not in vain for them. I pray that they can see that, Father, just as You stood with Moses, a servant in God's house, a servant, they can stand as Moses, as a son, as a son, and lead many to victory. Because, Father, You are big in us. According to the Spirit that is at work within us, we can do all things through Christ. And Father, I pray that if anyone was discouraged today, I pray, Father, that they leave this place and really think about what I shared with them and how valuable they are and how they can increase in their faith. They just have to do those things that are necessary to bring that increase, which is hearing the Word of God. Hallelujah. The more we hear the Word of God, the more encouraged we become.